Welcome on in, folks. It is Wednesday, May the 21st edition of Sports Talk. Steve Geller in for Mike Dettillier today, who will be out taking a couple of days break as we get ready for Saints organized team activities. But we do have the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, in the house, fresh off a nice, long, extended vacation, Hebert.
Yeah, definitely a road trip, recovering from jet lag.
Pretty long road trip.
Yeah, I went to Istanbul, Turkey. In Athens, Greece, not the Greek Isles. I went to the mainland because I love history, and everything I was witnessing was B.C., before Christ. So, you know, United States, we're getting ready to turn 250 years of age. Come on, that's just getting started. You know, so, yes, it was something to be able to witness, you know, where Plato and Socrates actually was preaching to the choir, to the crowd, and influencing them, and democracy, and it goes on and on. And even seeing a temple that was dedicated to Alexander the Great because he defeated the Persians, and then you look at the chain reaction, and all of a sudden what we have in Western democracy, if you don't win that battle, maybe things are different. No, so I was always intrigued with that. I like history, and the weather cooperated, I think. The hottest it was, you know, you can be there in the summer. It's hot in Greece, but it was like 75 was the highest. And no wake complaints. Up in the morning, it was like 60, 62. So it was unbelievable trip. And, you know, I definitely would recommend. I felt safe. In Istanbul, Turkey, I only saw one protest, but it was in control in the park and all. And the Hagia Sophia. You know, looking at that church, 1,500 years old, and, you know, still standing, even though you have earthquakes, everything. So it was just an unbelievable experience to be able to witness that. Because, you know, I've been to Western Europe, and then, you know, a few years ago, I ended up going, like, to Eastern Bloc countries, you know, the Iron Curtain before communism fell, but then it's opened up. So just trying to go to a place I've never been. And it was very rewarding, to say the least.
You're back just in time as the Saints started organized team activities this week. The media will get to go out and see our first practice of these voluntary workouts tomorrow morning. The Kellen Moore era has begun, a new head coach of the Black and Gold. We did have a rookie minicamp recently. And the big talk right now is the quarterback room. A lot of inexperienced young guys there right now. And, you know, we outside of the building, the Saints building at least, feel the team needs to add that veteran presence to the QB room. And curious how you feel about that right now with Tyler Shuck.
Well, we got a lot of
Spencer Rattler, Jake Haner.
We got a lot of virgins at quarterback. I mean, what I mean by that, virgin not winning any games in the National Football League. But you got to start somewhere. I still think they'll see how it unfolds, I would say, in the OTAs and minicamp and training camp. If they're comfortable where they're at. But I still think that you'd want that veteran presence, a positive presence. Maybe they might not view Aaron Rodgers as that type of individual, but Aaron Rodgers, he's a superstar, so that would get, and he's not signing, but he's not showing up at nobody's OTAs. I don't care if it's the Steelers, the Saints, whatever. He's going to wait out and see. So I think we got to wait and see what these young guys could do in OTAs and minicamp and go from there. There's a reason why the Saints are only picked. What, the over and under is like 5.5. I would be like shocked if all of a sudden you get the double digit wins, which I don't think can happen. And I'm trying to be positive. I think a good season would be the Saints would be 7-10. Who that nation, we just got to be patient. We got the right coach. If we're not winning, it's not because the coach. I think my impression, when I look, he's the youngest coach in the NFL, and Kellen Moore, that he knows what he's doing. And now ultimately you got to produce on the field and have success. And, you know, it's all about, like, even Jim Mora, who had to start from somewhere. He comes to USFL. Saints never had a winning season. 1987, and we won 12 games. You know, so you start somewhere. Oh, yeah, by the way, Coach Mora's turning 90 on Saturday.
90 for
He's
Coach
He's going to be 90 years old. He might be the best. He might be the best 90-year-old I ever saw.
He looks fantastic, right?
He looks more like 80. I don't know, that 80 instead of 90.
I'll take 10
you know,
years,
or
right.
78. You know, like 10 or 12 years. But yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see. We break down and look at the Saints' schedule. The script, what's in their favor to strength of schedule? We have the second easiest schedule in the NFL. So you look at who you're playing, when you're playing. Now, the one thing...
Do you look into that much, the strength of schedule, considering teams are different from year to year?
Well, yeah, they are, but they're not drastically different. If you play in the fourth-place team from every division, you know, no, there's a reason why they came in fourth. And you think they get drastically... Now, it can't change, like with Washington, with the Commanders, but that was the quarterback, Jane Daniels. So all of a sudden, you think the Giants are going to be that much different? So you look like there's certain games that, head-to-head, the Saints have to be able to win. I think coming out the gate, week one against Arizona, you got to win in the dome. We got to beat Kyler Murray. Now, I don't know, scrambling quarterback, can we contain him?
Cards are a tough team.
Yeah. And so and they play hard. The Cardinals play hard for their coach. And I can tell you, right, looking at the Cardinals, and you got San Fran at home, and then you're looking at Seattle, at Buffalo, and New York. I'm kind of looking at the first nine games. I'm looking like 2-7, 3-6, like win-loss total, kind of in that regard. But you got to get off to a great start at home, playing against Arizona. And if you look at it, five of the Saints' opponents finished last, like I was saying, in their respective divisions last year. And you could count six if you count the Panthers. Now, we were tied with them. So I would still think if we're heading in the right direction, we should be able to beat the Panthers twice. I mean, the Panthers now, Tampa Bay, look, they're going for like five in a row.
Right.
Then you look where Atlanta's at. But, I mean, I look at if we're going to get to seven wins, we got to go in the NFC South. We have to be at least 3-3. You can't be 1-5. And I always say this, so no matter the year, whether it's Tampa Bay or Atlanta, say we're going to split. And then the weakest team said you got to beat twice. So that's how you get to 3-3. So that's my logic to break that down in the NFC South. But looking at, this has been unusual, and we haven't noticed, because you kind of look, the NFC, it's not always like this. NFC is kind of like Fox games. I'm not talking about prime time, but the NFC... it's usually Fox and the AFC, like CBS.
Right.
Well, we have eight games on CBS. So to me, that was on the bottom of like when you these networks are fighting over what games they want. So I said, okay, you have the Saints. So eight, good for CBS locally, Channel 4, WWL-TV. But we have eight games on CBS. But I think looking at, to give us hope for the future. What I mean by the future beyond 2025, that it can't be like you're going in the opposite direction. Are we trending in the right direction? What I mean by that is still a losing season, but having like six or seven wins. And then you say, oh, well, maybe we could build upon that.
It's also how you lost the games, too.
Yes, without a doubt. Without a doubt, how you lose and the performance is going to come about there. So, but no primetime games. Look. The Saints were shut out of primetime for the first time since 2000. Coach Hasselhoff, that was a magical season. They ended up going 10-6 and ended up being a playoff. But, if you look at it, the Saints had three primetime games a year ago and have not had, and they've had at least two every year since 2005. So we're in uncharted waters and under the radar. And like I was saying, in 2000 with Coach Hasselhoff, first season as a coach, like Kellen Moore, 10-6 record, and resulted in a playoff berth, and not only a playoff berth, but the first playoff win. So you never know. That's why you play the games. But you look at the Arizona Cardinals at noon, come September the 7th, I think we have to take care of business there. You know, it's not like they have us playing the Buffalo Bills week one. And then I was like, oh, well, we're going to be 0-1. So I think a very winnable game there. And the schedule has been very favorable to New Orleans, where it's the seventh time in eight seasons that New Orleans opens the season at home.
Right.
So you don't have to go on the road. You're going to be in the dome. And
you got to win in Kellen Moore's coaching premier with the Saints.
Yeah, then, you know, you have the ceremony at the end of the game, and the team gives the head coach his first win in the NFL. His
first, as a head coach.
His first game ball. You know, that's always meaningful, something that you save and you put up on a shelf and you reflect back down through the years. Then looking at...
The last time he was in there was pretty good results, so hopefully they can duplicate that.
Yes, yes, and New Orleans has been kind to Kellen Moore. And so looking at that, you know, the 49ers are interested. I think the 49ers...
Your boy Brock Purdy got paid.
Yeah, he got paid, but and he's produced enough to get paid. It's just the market. Now, the one thing... If you look at the 49ers and where they're at right now, you know, we talked about our injuries last year. Well, the 49ers were as snake-bitten as us with injuries. I think they want to say off the top of my head, they lost 8 of their last 9 games. And remember, we couldn't even practice against them.
I was going to say that, right.
In training camp last year because Coach Shanahan calls up Coach Allen.
All the players are hurt.
Well, yeah, we can't practice against you because all our players are hurt. Well, they had that same song and dance throughout the year, so that affected them. But I didn't realize this. If you look, if Shuck is the starter versus Brock Purdy, you know, the two faced each other 4 times in high school.
Right.
I was like, whoa. You know, when you look back and you go back to your high school days and all that, so that'll be interesting. But the reason why I say I would take the over, the 5.5 instead of the under. The Saints play just 3 teams that qualify for the playoffs, that being the Bills, the Rams, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And, you know, 10-7, the Rams and the Bucs. Now, the Bills, 13-4, that would be in September 28th, the fourth game. That would be a monumental upset if we win at Buffalo.
Happy it's in September, though.
No, it's going to be a nice fall day. It's
right.
going to be awesome. It's going to be a nice fall day in Chicago, October the 19th. The only game, I'm telling you, that could be cold is at Tennessee and Nashville. Come December the 28th, that could be a 30-ish, you know, maybe worst-case scenario, high 20s type game. But no, the schedule is very favorable, not dealing with inclement weather and everything when you look at that. But when you look at where the Saints are at right now and, you know, like the Giants, you look at the Patriots. Come on. It's not the Tom Brady Patriots. And you look at the Giants, or that. Those are the games.
Right, they got a nice young quarterback that seems to be, you know, on the rise, but we still don't know much about Drake May, just one season.
Yeah, that's what I would say. Back-to-back home games then would be how you get the 7 wins. Like, you beat the Cardinals, beat a team like the Giants and the Patriots, for sure, I think would definitely come into play. Now, the Bears... Are the Bears are going to be the Washington Commanders of last year? Now, why did Washington all of a sudden turn things around? You'd say one guy, Jaden Daniels.
Big factor to that.
Yeah. Now, come on, is Caleb Williams, what he's going to do? Because he got a great supporting cast.
Another head coach, new head coach over there.
So that'll be interesting. I don't have us winning that game at Chicago. I think Dennis Allen's
Allen's revenge.
Yes, and I guarantee you might say, that I'm just focused on the game. I'm not. No, Dennis Allen wants to beat the Saints, man, and he'll have their defense prepared. I think one thing about Dennis Allen, maybe he didn't work out as a head coach, but I think he could be one of those like Vic Fangio type outstanding defensive coordinator. When all said and done, and I think a lot like Kellen Moore, you know, when you look like first time head coach. Ben Johnson. I don't know. I'm a Ben Johnson fan, what he did with the Lions. And I think the Bears could be this year's version of Washington last year. I don't know if you agree with that or if you have some other dark horse or...
They're definitely, you look at the offense around Caleb Williams, they think they've got the quarterback and a bunch of weapons there too. Bringing in a guy like you mentioned with Dennis Allen, he might not be a head coach, but you know that guy knows defense pretty darn well. They've got some good pieces over there. So you would think... that the Bears would make a rise, but they're in a tough division, too.
Yeah, oh, no, you look at the NFC North. The Lions aren't going anywhere. Vikings, you look at the Packers. No, that might be you could be fourth place in the NFC North and it'd be a pretty damn good team and consider it, a playoff. So when you look at it, we're going to get back also just continuing from there. Looking at the Bucs, I don't care how good the Bucs are, you still got to, like, split with those type games. You know, we cannot afford, to go like 2-4. You know, that was a fourth-place finish last year. So I'm trying to be realistic and said, oh, no, we're going to go 5-1 or something. No, we should. Again, if we're training the right way, it should be like 3-3 in the NFC South. In those terms, and not repeat of last year going 2-4 in the NFC South.
What we'll do, we'll take a break. We'll pick things up with the L.A. Rams trip to L.A. Right after this. So stay tuned on WWL Sports Talk. You can chime in, too, with the Cajun Cannon in the house tonight. Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line is 504-260-1870. As we get you ready for organized team activities, our access tomorrow, we'll have plenty of audio from that. Stay tuned with more on the Saints right after this on WWL Saints Radio. Hanging out on Sports Talk here with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert in the house, talking about some Saints football. You can chime in. Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. And man, oh man, Cajun Cannon, one of the popular sentiments, I think, among Houdat Nations right now. I'm reading one text from 8238 saying, Cajun, the ancient tank to draft the man, the myth, the legend, Arch Manning.
Well, yeah, I mean, it'd be like a movie. I mean, Archie Manning's grandson, the quarterback of the future Saints. Okay, but twofold.
I was waiting for you to say one of your favorites. Not so fast.
Yeah, but not so fast. I mean, he has to play first at Texas. Now, I think he's going to be outstanding. But, you know, a lot of things got to fall into place. You have to avoid injury and all that. And he has to actually do it on the field. Who has more upside right now because he has played is LSU's Nussmeier.
Get on, you know, the Nussbuzz, baby.
Dad's the coach with the Saints. He's going to be a first-round draft pick. Because he has skins on the wall. Now, Arch just has to play at Texas and put skins on the wall. And then we have to wait and see where the Saints would be, how they work that out to draft him. But first off, okay, he has to play at Texas.
Right.
And just talking with Archie is that the Manning family, they love college football. And now you can be compensated. So you don't need to jump to the NFL so fast. It's not like they're desperate. And, you know, they're on food stamps, the Manning. So, I mean, with Arch and Cooper and all that. So I think they would wait to the right time. So I don't even think Arch is coming out next year. That would be more like the year after. Because just look at the track record. And I think he would trust his uncles and they all powwow and get together. Look how long Peyton played at Tennessee and how Eli at Ole Miss. So enjoyed the college experience, I think, that they would tell
right,
him.
Right, he stuck around Texas for a reason, too. He could have transferred.
Yes, and that I think, and look at yours, the quarterback who was the quarterback, he didn't get drafted to the seventh round.
Right.
You know, he was disappointed. I think he's with the Dolphins now. Quinn Ewers, yeah. I mean, so, you know, he's under the radar. So, you know, if he was all that, five-star coming out of high school and all, and where he's at. But as far as Arch... At Texas, no. I could see Arch playing at University of Texas the 2025 season and the 2026 season. So more you're looking at more the 27 draft. Now that seems like, man, that's a long time from now. But he's not just going to come out because, for financial reasons. I think he's going to enjoy the college experience like Peyton and Eli. And just talking with Archie and then, again... you're going to be evaluated what he does at University of Texas, and you know it's a great opportunity for him. I think
you mentioned it too, that NIL money is pretty darn good right now.
Yeah, and University of Texas, you couldn't be at a better place with Steve Sarkisian, the coach and all, and the supporting cast. So I don't say, oh yeah, we're going to draft him next year if the Saints would tank or not have a good team. Well, he might not even be in the draft, so I don't see that happening. But Steve, before we get back to where we were, I think we were up to like October 26th. With the Buccaneers coming to town. This is why I say we got to get off to a fast start. This is good mojo here. The Cardinals have lost 5 consecutive games in the Superdome, and they haven't won there since 1996. So 5 consecutive games.
That's ancient history. Wow.
The Cardinals, they don't have a good track record in the Superdome, so we got to make it 6-0. And they also have lost 3 consecutive season openers. So let's make it. They've lost 6 in a row to the Saints in the Superdome and lose 5 season openers. So I think the NFL, that's a gift. Because you got to play somebody, NFL team. We were 2-0 last year, had a lot of hope and unbelievable offensive performances. You know, when you look at Carolina and the Cowgirls, how that worked out. Well, the Cardinals, we should be 1-0. We should be 1-0. I don't care if we're rebuilding, and we got to have patience and all that.
See, I have more confidence in week two than week one.
With the 49ers?
Yeah, because there's a big question mark for me with that squad right now. I don't know what the Niners really look like. You mentioned it with Arizona. I think they play hard, and they got they're an up-and-coming team.
But, yeah, I think the 49ers, though, they could still be – well, I think they could be a wild-card team this year. The reason why I think more you look at the NFC West, you'd say the Rams right now. Well, wouldn't you say
after that Tampa game that we're at here on the schedule.
Yeah, and then you look at the Rams.
Are always a pain in the you-know-what.
And how they ended the season. Who played the Eagles better than the Rams in the snow? True. They had a chance to win. The Eagles won a roll. So when I look at that, I just look at it that we'll be really discouraged if we 0-1. Because, you know, it's at home, and then the 49ers come into town. So, no, it's going to be tough. But when it's really going to be tough, though, and going back to the schedule, is this 3 weeks, I don't think we're going to win a game. I think it's going to be tough. October 19 at Chicago, and you got the Bucs at home on October 26th, then you go at the Rams on November the 2nd.
Yeah, it's a rough stretch.
To me, that's, you know, you always have maybe four or five games. I look at those three games are going to be tough. But then at Carolina, hell, we got to beat Carolina come November 9th, and then you got the open date. The open date is coming at the right time. You know, you beat up and all that. November the 16th is not too early, not too late. That seems about right. And I still think that we have an opportunity to be 4-6 or 3-7 at that time. I think after 10 games, we'll have that type of record. And again, it's not like all of a sudden we're going to run the table on the back end. I'm still looking at only 6 or 7 wins. But just look at who you play and when you play, and 4-6 or 3-7 in that regard. But again, like Tampa Bay, until proven differently, it'd be an upset if we beat them one time. Now, we've played actually Tampa Bay better on the road than we have at home.
We love overtaking the pirate ship.
Yeah, so you never know. But again, another aspect. And Vegas isn't always right, but they have some rhyme or reason. You look at the over under 5.5 wins. We only favored in one game. Do you know where did I hear? I heard this. I think the Bills are the only team that's favored in every game.
Right.
Okay. Now think about that. The Buffalo Bills. I mean, they go win every game, but they favor in every game. We favored in 1 out of 17.
Yeah, just against the Jets.
Yeah, and yeah, the Jets. The Aaron Glenn, another Saints connection there. Now, that's going to be in the back end of the season. But again, it doesn't matter if you're not favored, because I still got us that we can get over that hump and win 6 or 7
games.
Yeah,
I think right now the Giants, too, they're only like a point favorite, but they are still favored.
Yeah, and that's why I said those type of teams like Giants, Jets, no. If you're going to get and over that over 5.5, those are the games you have to win.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because we're not going to all of a sudden, we're going to September 28th, week 4. Again, that would shock the NFL and win at Buffalo. You're not going to be dealing with inclement weather, a nice fall game. That'd be a good road trip. If you want to see the Bills Mafia and go and experience that, they're building a new stadium. I think they're not in their new stadium this year, but in the future. So it looks like they're not going to be the Toronto Bills. They're going to be staying in Buffalo with a new stadium, which is the right thing to do. It's America. We don't need to cross the border and go be the Toronto Bills. Now, the NFL wants to be international, but that'd be a good experience if you've never been to Buffalo, because their crowd. I remember when the Bills, when they came here, remember just right out the studio here, right here, about Lucy's and all that, and Barcadia. Remember, they had a Bills party. The Bills Mafia was showing up, and, well, we got spanked that game. So I don't expect much from that game coming up. But, yeah, at Carolina, so we're going into the open date, 4-6 or 3-7. Well, what do you have, Steve, somewhere around there?
My season win total, I'm right at 7, and that's being super optimistic.
We did not even have a conversation about this.
Right.
And that's not like somebody, you know, some fans will say, like, that's always the glass half empty. Pessimistic. Oh, hey, Bear, there's no way they're winning 7 games. I go, no, that could happen. And it's not what are you going to brag about that? We're 7-10, you know, but it's still, they go, oh, no, they're not going to win seven games. That I could see that happening.
That's definitely like the high, though, I think, with this team.
That's what I would think. Right now, baby steps.
Right, exactly.
You know, we got first things
first.
We
got hope back, I feel like. The Derek Carr retirement, I feel like Hudat's kind of, or we're celebrating after that announcement.
Well, you know, like I was saying, the Bills are the biggest challenge, but you know what's a positive? You know, always look at the glass half full. You know, the Saints have a 4-game winning streak in Buffalo.
Hey.
The last four times we've gone to Buffalo, the Saints have won. Now, there's different players and all that, but you know, always look at the history.
The trends, right.
Yeah, the trend. The last four games, we went to Buffalo. The Saints are on a 4-game winning streak. And now, think about this. The Saints lost their first game in Buffalo back in 1983, but have not lost the four trips to upstate New York against the Bills. Now, the Bills, but you know what? It's going to be hard-pressed. You know what their record was last year at home? The Bills were 10-0, and they were 10-0 at home in the regular season in the playoffs last season. So that's a hostile environment. But I say, if you're a football fan and you want to take a road trip, and because I don't think Bills fans, like maybe in Philly, they wouldn't beat you up. If you're a Saints fan and you have your Saints gear, they probably invite you to tailgate. And you know, and want to show you.
Yeah, you don't hear too much about Bills Mafia being, you know, rude and you know, beating up their fans like you said, the opposing fans coming in.
Yeah, it's not like you go to a game at a Veterans Stadium in Philadelphia. I remember we were playing the Eagles, and some fans went up to the game, and they go, "Well, you don't dare go to the bathroom by yourself, because then you know you might be at the urinal and all that, and so I come punch you in back of the head."
Right.
Like, what? I'm just trying to go to the bathroom. What the, you know, and then if you start cheering too loud, then they throwing stuff at you.
That was even something when I first moved down here, coming to the Superdome, I was amazed on how friendly fans were. And I just grew up in the New Jersey area, so I went to a bunch of Giants, Jets games, and those fans were even rude as heck.
Yeah, yeah. The Jets fans to me were even more rude than Giants fans.
They're a lot crankier.
The Jets fans is like, I don't know, I remember these 20-some-year-olds, like late 27, 28 years old, and they were a bunch of dudes, you know, not with their family, and they'd hang out by the tunnel where the team's coming out.
Yeah.
And they'd be like dog cussing you, talking about your mom and your grandma and saying, you know what they're doing right now? I'm not even going to describe it. I'd be like, whoa, look at these morbid people and stuff. So
one of my first or second year on the getting to do sideline with the Saints, they played at New York. So taking the team bus into the Giants stadium, and there the fans are lined up, giving the big old middle finger, young and old coming in. I'm like, I'm home back in New Jersey.
Yeah, Steve, like you're saying with the bus, like you're heading to the airport, you're leaving all that. And then when you look at it, it wouldn't be like the mom and the son. It'd be like the grandma and the grandson. So it'd be like the 8-year-old kid with the grandma, and they both giving you the one finger salute, looking at the bus and like throwing eggs at it and stuff. So
we're gonna take a break, Cajun Kid. When we get back, we'll pick things up right after the bye week at home against the Falcons. Stay tuned, folks, right here on WWL Saints Radio. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Been breaking down the schedule. My man Cajun Cannon back from vacation, getting our first chance to go over with him. Coming off the bye week, Cannon, the Saints are back in the Caesar Superdome, and those Dirty Birds are on the schedule once again, November 23rd, hosting the Atlanta Falcons.
Well, you know, the Saints haven't lost to the Falcons in the Dome. You got to go back to 2021 season. And two of the last three games in the Dome versus those Dirty Birds were decided by 3 points or less, by 3 points. So I could see a hard-fought game. I'm interested to see now Michael Penix, what's going to come about. You know, he plays in the Dome for the first time since, remember when he led University of Washington to the Sugar Bowl victory over Texas? So, you know what I told you? If you play somewhere and you're going to sleep that night before, and then you go, if you had positive vibes,
yeah.
I think it's human nature. Well, he's going to probably reflect on, while I was here, you know, University of Washington in that Sugar Bowl victory against Texas in the semifinals, the college football playoffs. That was only two seasons ago, so that wasn't that long ago. So I still have it, though, somehow, some way, that you got to split with Atlanta. And whether it's in New Orleans or Atlanta, if you're going to have like a 3-3 instead of 1-5, 2-4 type division record.
After at home at Atlanta, Bobby got a back-to-back trip to Florida, at Miami, then at Tampa Bay.
Well, look at the Dolphins. I think the Dolphins, they're kind of on the hot seat. When you look at what are they going to do? Are they going to do anything in the AFC East? So I don't know. Are you a fan? I can't think of his name now. The head coach, McDaniel.
Yeah, McDaniel.
Yeah, yeah. To me, I don't know. He wants to be the modern day version of like how I treat the players and all that. Mm-hmm. That's all fine. Like, you know, like seems like he's their friend instead of their coach. No, when you see him at the podium.
I think he's a good offensive mind.
Yeah, when you at the podium and all that.
He's quirky, right?
Yeah, yeah. But the bottom line is, yeah, you could
just
do all
win.
That if you win.
Right.
Yeah.
Then it's cool.
You could be a butthole. or you could be the nice guy in the world if you win. You know, there's different ways to skin a cat. You have to win. I think he's kind of on the hot seat with the Dolphins. They have to do something. So, I don't know. I think... And Miami, that's kind of a toss-up. I think we could beat the Dolphins. The last time we played them, that shouldn't even have counted. Remember the COVID game?
Oh, that was awful.
I mean, come on. It was, I mean, who's playing quarterback?
Ian Book, baby.
Ian Book. I think the first pass was a pick six or something.
The book was closed after that.
Yeah, so I don't even count that game. But I want to say off the top of my head, we've had success against Miami through the years.
After the Miami and Tampa Bay road trip, you're back home against the Carolina Panthers. After that, another home matchup. December 21st, those New York Jets, that one game you are favored in for the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, if I look at, you know, I talked about a tough stretch, like tough games, like at the beginning, come October, looking at like leading into November, early November, the Bears, at the Bears, Tampa Bay at home, and at the Rams. Well, I think this is kind of like the easiest stretch. When you look at weeks 15 to 17, you got Carolina at home. You have the Giants that close out the season. And you got the
Jets.
The Jets, yes, at home. And then you got the Tennessee Titans. I'm looking at that. They have a great chance. Then you could finish the season strong. You know, possibly that gets you to like seven wins. If you look at the Panthers, Jets, and Titans, I think that's coming to play. They were a combined 13-38 a year ago. You know, and the Saints get to play their first two games in this stretch at the Superdome, so you get some kind of momentum against Carolina and the New York Jets. Then you close out at Tennessee, and then you ultimately, right after Christmas, you're going at Atlanta. But that stretch, I think that's going to be interesting to see. And those games, our confidence.
Right.
And are we playing more as a team? And because I don't think you'd be, it's not like you're playing Buffalo in Buffalo at the end of the season, or whoever you perceive, like whether it be the Lions or the Eagles or whoever. No, if that's very favorable. You look at the back end of the season, Carolina, the Jets, Titans, and the Falcons to close out the season.
And breaking news on Tennessee, Cajun Cannon. First round overall pick, Cam Ward, has signed his rookie deal, becomes seventh straight player team with team's nine draft picks class that are signed for the Titans. He got a four-year, $48.75 million deal, fully guaranteed.
Fully guaranteed. So what if he turns out to be like Josh Rosen? I don't think he will, and he can't play. But, well, football's been very, very good to me.
$47 in his pocket.
Yes. It's kind of like when you look at, he never worked out from LSU. You remember Purple
Jamarcus.
Dream? Jamarcus Russell. He got like $30 million guaranteed. But you know when they had that rookie wage scale, the new collective bargaining agreement came about? I remember the last one to really get paid before they had that rookie deal was Sam Bradford. For Oklahoma quarterback with the Rams, he got $50 million guaranteed. Then it went really cut in half. Then Cam Newton the next year. I say only, but he got $25 million guaranteed.
No, that's significant.
Because the new collective bargaining agreement.
Taking a break here on Sports Talk. We'll be right back after this. Stay tuned on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. We've been breaking down the schedule with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We know there's no primetime games, Bobby, but a big plus to me, and I think you feel the same way, those 3 o'clock kickoffs. We got a bunch of them.
Well, especially here in New Orleans, whether you're going to see LSU on Saturday night. I don't even know LSU's schedule, but if you're partying Saturday night, you don't have to wake up early because of the 12 noon kickoff. But 3:25 at home against the New England Patriots and then the Falcons come November 23rd. And Carolina. So those 3:25 kickoffs, I kind of like that because not too early, not too late.
We're going to take on more Saints talk right after the top of the hour news. Stay tuned. We'll also be welcoming in Jeff Duncan, columnist for the Times, Picayune, and NOLA.com at 525, talking about his article, The Tyler Shuck and the Dak Pack Taking Control in This New Era. We'll be back right after this on WWL.